Hey, what's up? This is Christopher Stolle of Realm of the Mist Entertainment. The podcast you are listening to is part of the SJ Network. Go to s-j-network.com. That's s-j-network.com for more great podcasts and information on those shows, as well as information and ability to contact publicist Steve Joyner for more information. Just go to the website and check out the family. Ladies and gentlemen, until then, enjoy the show.
Hey Reva, watch me pull a rabbit out of a hat.
This sounds like something from a Rocky and Bullwinkle cartoon. You're not going to pull a lion out of there, are you?
Of course not. That sounds like a trick for today's guest, Anthony Prosciutti.
Hey, has anyone seen my never mind, here's my hat. Hey, what's inside of it?
I wonder if Bullwinkle is looking to be a voice-over bard.
Note to the listeners under 50, trust us, this was funny in the 1960s.
Great. A joke with a 50-year-old reference. Really hip.
Well, at least we dropped the Nixon reference.
Attention, rebels of the Sure Pollution. Today's podcast is being brought to you by Audible. You can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/sherpa. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And now Mr. Bruce will lead you into the Sherpa Chalet.
As a reminder, although our Yeti is friendly, it is advised that you stay away from him if you are a Kardashian.
Welcome to Too Many Podcasts, the podcast about podcasts. Now, podcasting from the Sherpa Chalet on Mount Podcastia, he's your host, Jim, the podcast Sherpa.
Hey there, rebels, and happy 2021. We made it. I know some people were a little iffy on 2020, but hey, here we are. Welcome to Too Many Podcasts. It's me, Jim, the podcast Sherpa. It's always me, isn't it? Big surprise there. Hey, you know what? Let's start the year off with a magical show. That's right. A magical interview with magician, mentalist, and danger act, Anthony Prosciutti. We had a really cool conversation about magic and how we got into it and the struggles it takes to get on America's Got Talent. But anyway, Anthony gave it his best shot with going on that show. And we talked a little bit about being on TV. I have a little bit of experience there, but he's a super nice guy, and actually, he does a trick during the course of the interview. I will repost the video of when he did the trick, because I did manage to record it off of our Zoom interview, but it was really a lot of fun, and he's a really great magician and a super nice guy. Really glad to have him as a guest. So you'll see that there's nothing in my hands, nothing up my sleeve, nothing in my brain, but I will be talking right now to Mr. Anthony Prosciutti.
Hello there, rebels. We are in the magic and wizardry room of the Sherpa Chalet. My guest is a magician, a mentalist, and a danger act.
Yeah.
Let's see if he can escape from this interview. That's the big challenge for tonight. His name is Anthony Prosciutti. He does a lot of shows on Facebook Live. If you want to check out his wizardry, and on YouTube as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, YouTube, everything, whatever. Tumblr, I don't even know. Is Tumblr even a thing?
It might be.
I think so.
I thought that was something you drank out of, but that's okay.
It probably is.
So, hi, Anthony. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Now, you are very young. You are 20?
Yep, 20 okay. years old. Yep.
So, yes, you are much very young compared to me, especially. But that's okay.
Not too different. Not too far.
Now, how long have you been involved with doing magic and everything else?
It's been a long time. I was 13 when I started. Quite a few years.
Was there anything in particular that sparked your interest?
I was in middle school and I was in class. It was the end of class, so everybody was just hanging out. And I saw some kid. He had like a bunch of girls standing around him. I'm like, what's going on? Why has he got all these girls standing around him? So I go over. He's doing like a card trick. I go, what? No, no, that's not going to happen. You know, he's got all this attention. I needed a little bit of it. So I went home and started going on YouTube and learned a bunch of card tricks and stuff like that. And from there, it was, that's all it did for me.
That was, do you remember exactly what it was? Was it anything spectacular, or just kind of pick a card and I'll, you know, pull it out of my pocket or something like that?
Yeah, it was actually pretty extravagant, which I didn't figure out how he did it for a few years after. So finally figured it out and I started doing it. But it was a good trick, actually.
Which were you first drawn to? Did you really like a lot of close-up magic or a lot of the big stage magic?
Yeah, I did like a lot of the close-up magic, which is what I started out doing, which is, I'm sure a lot of people start out doing close-up, but it slowly got away from that, actually. I started doing larger stage acts, and I stopped doing the close-up, you know, the card tricks and whatnot. So I got away from that because I found more of a passion for, you know, doing stage, having all these people instead of, you know, corporate events. You know, corporate events is where you have more of this, the close-up magic and stuff like that. That's where I found my love.
Did you ever do any like the street magic, like the David Blaine type of stuff?
Yeah, I did. I've done a lot of street magic, actually. I did. I have a video on my YouTube channel. We were on tour in Cleveland. We went to Cleveland, Ohio, and we pull up to the hotel or the theater, and this guy right off the street, we get out of the car, and he was really nosy. He's like, hey, man, what's going on? What are you guys doing here? What are you doing? What are you doing? We were all nervous because we didn't know what was going on. It wasn't our city or anything. So he's like asking us what we do, and I told him I'm a magician. So he immediately, of course, said, show me something. So, you know, I showed him something, and he actually gave me one of the best reactions I've ever gotten. Just simple street magic. It was really good. But
when you tour, you tour with your dad, you said?
I went on tour when I was 17. With a comedy duo, and actually an Italian comedy duo. And we went, I believe we did over 30 shows, and I was the opener. We went all over the country, United States, Canada, you know, everywhere you can imagine. But that was my start. When I was 17 years old, going to high school, going on the weekends, going out of town, it was crazy.
Do you remember your first show where you played your first gig?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was... I'll never forget it because we were in Canada and it was sold out. There was over 400 people there. And that was my first show. You know, I wasn't that experienced. I've only done maybe, you know, five other, maybe a little bit more, but, you know, stage shows before that. And I was doing a show in front of 400 people, you know, doing a 20-minute set, having an extravagant act, of course. My thing is stripping. I always strip my clothes off on stage. So I did that for the first time in front of all these people. So
I guess it's a good way to get familiar with your audience really quick.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's different. So they won't forget you.
No? That is true. Unless somebody recognizes you with too many clothes on, they'll be like, wait a minute, I know you from somewhere. I just can't place it.
Well, the clothes were like red suspenders, high socks that go to my knees, you know, short shorts. It was something. It went along with the act. You know, you'd have to see it. It's all on YouTube.
Is your YouTube channel, is it under your name? Is it under Anthony Presutti or?
No, it's Presut Magic. So Prezut Magic after that, all one word. I believe I did that act also on the talent show in my high school, when I was in high school. So that's on the headline there. You'll see that the first thing.
And you did audition for America's Got Talent a while back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I was 17 again. I went out to New York City, just closer to you, right? Mm-hmm. So I went to the Javits Center, and we went, and I did that stripping act, that same stripping act in front of them, because I figured, you know, it's different. They're going to remember me. They have to want me. So I auditioned. You know on TV, when you see, have you ever seen America's Got Talent?
Yeah.
Yeah, you see the big line of like 1,000 people on the line. They're all waiting. You know. Well, I got a front of the line pass from one of the producers. They emailed me and told me they were going to give me a front of the line pass. You know, you can skip the line, get to skip that long line. So I was so excited. I'm like, man, I got a really big advantage. You know, I can skip that long line. They're going to, they're going to want me, you know. So it was good. There was only like 200 people in the line, but, you know. So I went in and I had to audition in front of 10 other people. It's kind of weird, but you audition in front of 10 other people in front of, I think, two producers. So it's very different than the show. You wouldn't expect any of this. You ever heard any background behind the scenes of these shows?
Yeah, I know there's usually like a series of auditions. It's not like the way that they present it on TV, like where, boom, they just walk in and like the four people see you and then they say, oh, okay. No, because you've had to have gotten to a certain point before you're even appearing in front of them on TV.
Right, yeah. There's a whole process behind it. I haven't gone all the way yet. I'm still working with the producers, but I go in the room, I perform, I strip my clothes off, do my act. You know, there's comedians, there's singers, all different people. You all have to take turns. And the producer was completely stone-faced. You know, she gave no emotion. And I don't know how you see this kid stripping his clothes off, stripping the sexy music. You know, what was it, Marvin Gaye? Let's Get It On. You know that song, right?
Sure.
Yeah, stripping to that. Like, Emma, how is she not laughing? So I was really freaked out. So we're walking out of the room. All the other contestants are walking out of the room. And she stops me. She's like, hey, you know, the act was really good. We really liked you. I'm like, wow, she actually liked it. You know, so they just play a game. I think that's what they do. They just play a game just to scare people. And I guess it worked, but.
Yeah, I guess probably with the producers, they probably don't want to show their hand too quickly so that people don't get overconfident or even scared.
Right.
You know, if with one expression, whether they're having a good day or a bad day, you're not going to know if they like you or not. It'll just be, well, when it's all over, then you'll know.
Right, exactly. Even that, you would think, you know, they tell you, you'll make it. If you made it, you'll know by February or something like that. They'll say that. So they give you some hope. And then you don't get the call. I didn't get the call. I moved on to the executives. They wanted me to perform in front of their executive producers that day, actually. So you know American Idol?
Uh-huh.
So that room, I went on to perform in front of those guys, the big executives. That room actually looked like America's Got Talent. So imagine American Idol, my bad. Imagine that, American Idol. I had to perform again. I performed again in front of those guys. And then that's when it ended for me. It was a big process.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not as easy as it looks. So, you know, like you said, it's an image that's presented through the show that it's, oh, well, you know, we'll just take this person up the street and boom, you'll be seeing them next week. And, you know, there's a lot of heartbreak up until that point.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I was devastated when I'm waiting 3 months, looking every day, you know, looking at the clock saying, are they going to call? Going to call, and they never called. But that was my first year, so I auditioned another time. I think that was the following year. That time I actually had an appointment. They set up an appointment beforehand, and I got to prepare a little bit more with a casting producer. You know, he helped me out. He said, hey, when you go to the audition, do this. Don't do this. You know, he told me all the things I should and shouldn't do, which helped a lot, and I think that's not something a lot of people get to experience, which is unfortunate. So they're kind of just thrown in there. Hey, go perform, go try and see what you can do without any help.
And I know with a lot of those shows, sometimes they also want to like, they want you to have like a backstory. So I guess so that you don't appear like one dimensional person, like, oh, I'm just going to come here, do a little magic, and then we're done. It's like, oh, yeah. He grew up in a rough town and, you know, magic was his escape. They had to kind of build it up. So like people, they want to root for you when you're like, oh, he was the kid who had the tough life. You know, he's doing this.
Yeah, I know. It's like, that's what I realized I have to do now. I kind of come up with some story. I've been trying to develop a story for years. You know, I got a plan for one, but you're right. That's exactly what they do. They want somebody they want to put tears on people's faces. You want to either do that or make people laugh. So you got to have some emotional story. So that's my next step. We got to figure that out. Got to come up with something, I guess.
I know that's like a couple of years back. I had auditioned for a game show.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, and it was called the Million Second Quiz. It was hosted by Ryan Seacrest.
Oh,
and this was It went straight through day and night. And like when it wasn't on TV, it was on the internet during the night.
Oh, okay.
I think I was there like the second day and I'd gotten through the auditions and everything like that. But mm-hmm. I know what you mean. You know, they ask you for a story and I'm like, I don't know. I have a job. I have a big music collection. I like pizza. Work with that.
Make something out of it.
Right. By the time I got on, I was playing against a writer mm-hmm. because I guess the guy who was leading had been replaced. We had a good game, but this was like at 1:30 in the morning. So if you were on the internet at 1:30 in the morning, that was my TV game show debut.
Oh my God. So you actually you made it?
I did make it to play, yeah. Really? But I got, really? But because I lost the round, that was it. Like after that, I was like, okay, nice knowing you. See ya.
So how did it work? You had to audition.
Yeah.
You had to audition beforehand, of course.
Yeah. And they and you probably know you when you go on these shows, you sign your life away.
Of course. Too. You sign everything away.
Yeah. They tell you like, don't wear things with brand names on them. You right. can't. You can't advertise certain things because there are a lot of like laws involved with appearing on game shows and
right.
and shows like that.
Right, exactly. So where did you go? You went in person to audition?
Yeah, I went to Rockefeller Center.
Oh, okay. And you had a couple of producers or something? That
yeah, they're all different people and everybody was very nice. You know, even right. the day that they were doing the filming and stuff like that, I was hanging out with all the other contestants and I mean, everybody was cheering each other on. So you had a really nice spirit of camaraderie and just people wow. who knew a lot of trivia. So we were just like joking with each other and throwing questions at each other. It was an interesting experience. I'd never forget it.
That's awesome. So how many times did you go? You audition. I'm sure you auditioned for the first time, and then they probably called you after. Did they call you after?
Right. I went a second time, and then they just a third time. They said, "Okay, come on down," and you're basically going to be waiting with everybody else.
Wow. Okay.
So and eating. Well, not a sponsor, Dunkin' Donuts, and hanging out a lot. So I was like, okay, and that was my right. day. That was my shot at television fame. But enough about me, Anthony. Let's talk a little bit more about you. Now, sure. you had a story about picking numbers?
Yeah, lottery numbers, I'm assuming.
Right.
Yep, lottery numbers. Yeah, I started doing a bunch of lottery predictions back in high school. Yeah, that's what started it all for me was like started the bigger ideas. You know, I started doing the lottery and it led to lots of other things. So I started out with the lottery and then I did that stripping act I told you about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what actually got me to win my talent show back in high school a long time ago. But surprisingly, if I didn't win that talent show, I probably would have stopped because I lost the past couple of years before. I was losing hope, thinking nobody liked it. And then finally I won. They gave me the encouragement to keep going and do bigger things than just the school talent show, which is not that big.
Well, it's always bigger and better things onward, right?
Oh, for sure. I think that was the same year I went on tour. That's also something that not a lot of people my age can say is that they went on tour, you know. I was lucky enough to find a promoter or two. I had two promoters at the time. They were helping me out. They were both fighting for me, actually. So the one guy took me out on tour, and the other person would book me for the close-up magic gigs, actually, which is what I stopped doing because the stage is just where it is.
I've noticed, like I was telling you earlier, that I've been a big fan of magic, and yeah. I was probably back in your age when I was magic. And when I was younger, like when I was a boy, yeah. When I was an armadillo or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the magic that you saw was big stage magic, and I notice a lot of the ones who get the attention now are the close-up guys, the David Blaine.
Yeah.
And the Chris Angels mm-hmm. and the Carbonaro effect, the yep. guy who's, you know, that, and it's all really just close-up stuff. It's not these grand illusions all the time. Right. The media likes going for the surprise look on people's faces when they say, oh, wait a minute. He just reached into a little shot glass and pulled out like a 10-foot snake or something like that.
Right. They love it. I mean, yeah, not everything has to be the big stage, the big stage things, obviously that's what works most in theaters. But if you're doing like a TV show, like you're saying, The Carbonaro Effect, the guy most of the time is in like a store or something and doing a bunch of random things like that. Like, yeah, everybody loves it. David Blaine, he just did, I don't know if you've seen his newest thing, he just did a floated up to almost a space. He had like a bunch of balloons and he was floating with that. So he's upped it a little bit from just his regular card trick. But I think it's always good to take those small things and make them bigger. You know, how can we make this different, better, and more appealing?
Yeah, that's the big word. How can I make it bigger? Well, some of these magicians have, you know, let's make an elephant disappear. Let's make the Grand Canyon disappear. And it's just one large thing after another to just kind of get that attention and like make people wonder, like, well, we know this is an illusion, but look how we made it come across.
Right.
You know?
Right, exactly.
So I remember when you had sent me some correspondence and you had said with the lottery numbers, you were like, well, you know, if I knew how to do that, I would be on a jet flying to Tahiti right now.
Yeah, I get people all the time. I get people almost every day messaging me, begging me to give them lottery numbers. I'm like, guys, this is just, I mean, not everything. I don't portray myself as 100% somebody who can truly do, you know, make lottery numbers happen, you know, correctly, but they're expecting so much out of me. If I could actually do lottery numbers, I would be sitting in a mansion right now, you know?
That's true. You probably have a lot of people following you on a regular basis, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. And they get mad at me. Like, no. I'm like, sorry, I can't. You know, I try and say it nicely, but they get really mad at me. And it's typically people from foreign countries. I don't know why, but they just message me and ask me for them. I don't get it.
I think you should just give them the standard response and go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's all I got for you.
I've done it before. I've told them like, I don't know, what is it? Typically 6 numbers or something in the lottery. I tell them a bunch of fake numbers. I'm like, try it. If you get it right, we split the profits.
There you go.
They haven't come back, so.
Hey, somebody might hit one day and be like, Anthony, thank you.
That's sweet. It works out well.
That's right. So you can't really lose. None of this is prearranged. Anthony, this is the first time that he and I are speaking, and we were talking about maybe if we could try a little trick, a mentalist trick. Sure. Maybe the listeners can kind of play along, and this is, you know,
right.
You don't see what I'm doing or anything like that. We're in Zoom. We're in two separate parts of the state.
Exactly.
So we can't see what I'm writing. I'm not holding anything up.
So what we'll do, I mean, I know listeners probably won't, listeners won't be able to see this. We'll try and explain it as best as we can for them. Especially, it's going to be with a deck of cards, but it works. So what you're going to do, you're going to think of any card you want, but maybe not something that, you know, somebody would typically think of. A lot of people think of the Queen of Hearts, Ace of Spades, something like that. Think of something maybe different.
Okay.
Okay. And you can tell me, tell everybody.
Okay.
Say it out loud.
All right, the 7 of Diamonds.
Okay. So that's what you want. Now, did I tell you to say that?
No, totally free will.
And it influenced you? I didn't say
not at all.
Right. I didn't, like,
he's not holding up the piece of paper that says, pick the 7 of Diamonds.
Yeah, it was 7 times. Mid-sentence. So I have this deck of cards here. Okay. Now, I want you to watch. Just watch closely. Okay. You said the 7 of Diamonds. Now, you could have picked any card.
Right.
Oh, can you see? I got to make sure you can see this.
Yeah, I can see it.
You can see every single card, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh. You can see every single card is face up. Except there's one card here. Now, Jim, you said the 7 of Diamonds.
Yeah.
You chose that, your own free will. I'm going to show it slowly. Ready?
Okay. It is the 7 of Diamonds. I can see if I could try and freeze this so people can see that this is actually happening.
So those who can't watch, Jim just said the 7 of Diamonds, and the 7 of Diamonds was the only card facing the opposite way in the deck.
He's not lying, folks.
You did it. It wasn't me. You did it. You're the mentalist.
Well, I've been called mental, maybe not mentalist, but
yeah, put you in the asylum. Yeah.
That's really great.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So do you have a favorite stage illusion that you like doing?
Yeah, actually, I was just thinking about that, looking in the background. So do you see this behind me? There's a picture of me.
Yeah.
You know, it says Strip 2020 Tour. I'm in a chair wearing chains and stuff like that. So I have this danger act that I do. I just started it, actually, the beginning of the year. I put a 3-prong fish hook in my mouth, and I have, you know, 4 or 5 strings attached to this, to the hook. And I tell everybody, you know, only one of these strings is actually attached. The rest of them you won't know. You won't be able to tell which, and it all goes in my mouth. They pick one string at a time. I tell them, pull as hard as you can. Okay. Hopefully they don't pick the string that's attached to the hook. So I do this. But again, like we said before, I try and up it. I try and say, hey, what is going to be the bigger and better thing? How can we make it bigger? I'm going to be doing this with 5 sports cars. And these cars are going to be attached to the strings. So somebody random is going to pick which car they want to take off one by one. And hopefully my mouth doesn't get ripped apart.
I hope you have a good dentist if it doesn't work out.
I know. My mom keeps saying, she's like, I paid $4,000 for those braces. You better not. My dad's like, Natalie, it's not the teeth you got to worry about. His whole face will be ripped off. hopefully I don't get messed up.
Have you toured mostly in the United States, or have you gone overseas yet?
I haven't gone overseas yet. I've had a lot of people from actually India. They've called me a bunch of times asking me to go there. But I never went.
Is that going to be the same guy that wants the lottery numbers, right?
Yeah. Hey, come here, do a show with us, and give us the lottery numbers. But for some reason, India loves magic. They have a lot of people, so they just love magic.
Yeah, there's a lot of mysticism in a lot of their religion, too, so that's probably why.
Yeah, a lot of them don't like it, too, actually. They get scared of it. They think it's black magic. You've heard of black magic before, right?
Yeah.
They think it's that sometimes. I was in Italy actually a few years ago, and I was showing my family, a couple of my family members, a trick, and I'm, you know, trying to pull a couple of the other members in to watch, and they're like, no, why? I'm like, oh, because it's black magic. We don't like it. Like, it's not black magic. It's just a card trick. So some people actually believe that it's, like, bad or something.
Wow.
So I forgot where else. Venezuela or something. They have dark magic.
Yeah, I guess there's just different versions of it throughout the world, Anthony.
Right. Right, exactly.
Was there any magicians that you admired when you started doing magic?
Yeah. Chris Angel was a big one. Because I actually saw him live when I was younger, probably like 10 years old. I watched him blow up a building and escape from it down in Florida, actually. So I saw him do that, and then I saw him a couple of years ago again. But he was a big influence, him and David Blaine. David Blaine's a big one. He's very mellow, you know, not much. But there's something about him that just makes you wonder even more.
I think that's part of the appeal of a lot of today's magicians, too. They have a more laid back. They're not the old time, ladies and gentlemen, and now I will reach into the hat. They don't do that anymore. It's just, hey, come here. I'll show you a little trick here.
Yeah.
And bing, bang, boom, you know, it's done.
Yeah, that style has gone away. And I'm happy that it has, because it's just like too old school. I think it's not very entertaining. That's why it's adapted to what people want to see. No, and that's what, you know, that's what David Blaine has done. It's what Chris Angel has done. They adapt to what people actually want to see. Nobody wants to see that old school stuff.
Yeah, they really kind of made it into a new art form.
Oh, for sure. People still do the, you know, the cutting people in half, but we all know that's not real. No matter how much you believe in magic, everybody knows that's not real.
But it's funny, you know, when you see an act like Penn and Teller.
Yeah.
They kind of are almost that bridge between the old school and the new school. They really have a lot of respect towards the classic tricks, but then they know how to turn it on its head at the same time.
Yeah, they are great. Those guys will never go away. They always come up with new ideas to make things. They'll take the old school tricks, and they'll make them amazing. They'll revive them and make them like they did the, I can't remember exactly what it was, but they did something recently they've been doing the full virtual show. I don't know if you've seen any of it, but it's actually kind of interesting because they use like the screen, like we're on Zoom right now. So right. They'll like reach over and you'll grab something, you know, and they'll take the classic tricks and integrate them into, you know, modern technology. So you're right about that there. They do a good job with that.
They always say, especially like with musicians, you have to kind of know where you've been to understand where you're going. And, right. And they, you know, and they probably know that probably better than most. And they've been doing it for 30, 40 years at this point.
Yeah, longer than I've been alive. For sure.
But who knows? Maybe, you know, there'll be people following in your footsteps in the near future.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. But maybe in a few years.
So, I mean, since you can't tour right now, I mean, are you doing virtual shows yourself, Anthony?
I haven't done any virtual shows. I've been doing a lot of podcasts, but I have been preparing for this Danger Act, you know, three-pronged fish hook cars, rip my mouth apart thing. That's going to be October 3rd. So I'm going to be doing that. It's just going to be a big video shoot. So that's going to be the big thing that I've been preparing for. And that'll be released, you know, hopefully sometime in October.
You know, if you send me the link, this will probably be airing after that.
So yeah.
We'll make sure that you still have a mouth by then.
Hopefully I'm still alive after it, you know. You can watch the video too.
Well, we could share the link as long as all the teeth stay intact.
Yeah, with the rest in peace after. Hey, you know what? Either way, my mouth gets ripped apart, it'll probably go viral, so it'll be worth it.
The mouthless magician. Didn't America's Got Talent, they had that comedian a couple of years ago with the tape on his mouth?
Yeah, tape face.
Yeah, there you go. So,
he wasn't a magician, but he did just quirky stuff, and they loved him. He's still going, too.
Well, there you go. So if that happens to you, you can just put the tape over your mouth.
Just throw tape. Tape always works. Duct tape.
That's right.
It's used for everything.
What would you want your legacy to be after after the car trick?
Well, so the whole point of it actually is I'm hoping for it to go viral, of course, which I think it has a pretty good chance if I play it right. But it's supposed to be shown to America's Got Talent producers. So I'm still working with a producer right now. I actually had a meeting with her back a while ago. Last November, I had a meeting with her. She's a casting producer. It's the first time I actually had a meeting with one. And she told me, hey, you got to stand out. You got to come up with some cool video ideas, send them in. So I decided to go big and do this. So the hope is that it attracts them, you know, gets their attention, and, you know, hopefully they give me a good chance getting on the show.
Yeah, well, I will keep my fingers crossed for you, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Could you talk a little bit about your Facebook Live?
Yeah. So my Facebook, I forgot exactly. It should be Anthony Pursuti, Magician and Mentalist. Typically, when we're on tour, I go live all the time. I go live now occasionally. Yeah, I think I have over 10,000 followers on there. But a lot of those people came from those 30 shows I told you about. Mm-hmm. Back when I was 17, all the way through 19 years old, I was touring with these guys named the Uncle Louie Variety Show. And we had so much fun. Just imagine driving on the road 12 hours at a time sometimes with two comedians in the car. How funny that is. It's so many fun times. You got so many stories. Let me think. One time, we went to Canada, and we're going to the border, actually. Heading to the border, and I had this huge pole with us, and going straight down the middle of the car. It actually looked like a stripper pole. So we're heading there, and they're just, you know, nonstop jokes. This is a family show. I can't really say much, but, you know, they're like, you know, when we get there, we're going to get searched, extra searched. if you know what I mean. So, see, I can't even say it.
You can
take Tim, you gotta help me. Use your imagination.
They're going to get a little personal with you.
Get the rubber glove out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you.
You got it. So just imagine all those stories. My God, it's so much fun. But it sucks because I can't even go on tour. I can't go out and do any shows or anything like that right now.
At least we have the Facebook Live and people can check you out and they can check out your stuff on YouTube as well.
Yes, yes, yes. All those. Instagram, YouTube, Facebook. Yeah.
Okay. You know what? Why don't you let everybody know your link so if people want to check you out so that they know where to find you.
Yep. Yep. So the YouTube is Prezut Magic, Prezut Magic. And then Facebook, again, is Anthony Prezuti, Magician and Mentalist. And then my Instagram is Anthony, just Anthony Prezuti. Yeah. Just my name. Simple. But you're going to have fun spelling my last name.
I'll put it in the show notes so they'll know how to do it.
Perfect.
All right. So his name is Anthony Prezuti, and Magician, Mentalist, and Danger Act.
Yeah.
Hopefully once this whole crazy stuff is gone, we will get to see you hopefully on America's Got Talent. But in the meantime, you can catch him on Facebook Live and YouTube and other forms of social media doing that prestidigitation stuff. You get to use a big word for the show. Yeah, sure. Anthony, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Hello there, Rebels. It's me, Jim, the podcast Sherpa, interrupting my own podcast to let you know about another podcast that I've worked on. It's a little mini-series, 5 episodes, called Too Many 80s Songs, and I didn't work on it alone. I got a lot of help with my buddy, Uncle Bruce. You know him better as Mr. Bruce, but it's Uncle Bruce and me, Jim, the podcast Sherpa, with the 5-part podcast called Too Many 80s Songs. And we talk about what else 80s songs. And it's just a lot of unscripted conversation, a lot of silliness, a little trivia, and a lot of music. So please check it out. New episodes debut Monday for 5 weeks through January and February. And you can hear all those songs exclusively on Spotify. That's the only place that's playing the Too Many 80s Songs show. Little hint. If you don't get to hear the songs in their entirety on Spotify, check my social media, Chirpolution, on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook for the link to all the songs that we included and some that we didn't. If you're a big fan of 80s music and you've got a special 80s request or dedication, send it to me. And if we get enough requests, we're going to come back and do a special request and dedication show. Hope you listen. Hope you enjoy it. So much. Viva La Sherpa Lution.
Let's get back to the Sherpa.
Sorry about that.
No.
And now it's time for Sherpa Suggestions.
So there are magic podcasts that you can listen to. So I figured, in honor of Anthony's appearance, I'd recommend you some. So we have one that's called The Insider, and that comes out of England. Magic from Wherever I'm At. Two Magicians, One Mic. The Magic Detective Podcast. Magic Talk with James Lantaine. Discourse in Magic. Shazam. The Magicians Podcast. And the magic word. Well, if I say the magic word, will the duck come down and give me $50? Thank you so much to Anthony Prezuti for coming on down from the magic place into the magical Sherpa Chalet. And hope you're enjoying the show. And we've got a few more shows till the end of season 5, but I know there's going to be stuff that you like. So if you want to follow Anthony, catch him on Facebook Live or on YouTube and check out some of the amazing stuff that he does. Really great stuff. So, Mr. Bruce, I guess it's time for us to get out of here. Can you take that wand out of that hat and maybe just wave it and maybe we'll disappear? Okay, ready? I'll say the magic word. Open the door. Okay, well, that wasn't so magical. Okay, abracadabra. Okay, I'm disappearing. Of course they'll know that I'm gone. I'm not saying anything. They won't be able to hear me. Shh, shh. We'll just sneak behind the couch. Nobody will know the difference. Okay. Viva La Sharpalution.
Thanks for listening to Too Many Podcasts. Please disperse. You can go home now. I said you can go home now. Viva La Sharpalution. Viva La Sharpalution. Yeah, I'll come back now you're here.